Welcome to our Gender Inclusive Language event. Thank you all for making the time to be here, especially our one viewer in New York. I know it's quite early for you still. So I think we can start with a small introduction round. PowerPoint lets me. Yep, there we go. So Anna, would you like to start by briefly introducing yourself?
Yeah, hello, 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 hello. My name is Anna, and originally I'm a lawyer, but I'd never worked as a lawyer. I've worked a long time as a PR manager in a big law firm, and now since 10 years, I'm a diversity coach. And my big business challenge is to bring more diversity in the companies to make them better, to make them successful, and to create a better working atmosphere. So my passion is the diversity, with all the stuff what belongs to diversity.
Perfect. Thank you, Anna. And then just a little bit about me. I'm Antonia. I'm working at the LLI. I've been here about 8 months. Also currently working at a legal tech company. And right now I'm based in London and then going on to qualify as a solicitor here in the UK. So as you can see, we have German and British background represented, and that's kind of going to be the structure of today's presentation as well. So we'll start off with the English speaking part about gender inclusivity and gender neutrality in English. And then Anna is going to take us through the kind of German version, which, as we'll see, is a little bit more complex. But we hope you'll join us for both parts. So I think we can start by talking a little bit about gender inclusive language for English. So perhaps a good place to start is, what is gender inclusive language, gender neutral language? And we can roughly define this as language which basically attempts to avoid biases towards one particular gender. So traditionally, we perhaps have a gender towards the male default by, for example, always using the male he when we're referring to a large group of people whose gender we don't know. So that is an example of one bias that we're trying to avoid here. And just a little note on gender inclusive language for English. It's relatively straightforward to do this for English just because we don't have grammatical gender, and that means that our nouns and our adjectives don't lean towards any particular gender. They're the same for both genders. So it's a little bit more complex for German. And now we can move on to, why is gender inclusion so important? And I've got three bullet points here, which hopefully summarize it. So the first one is that language belongs to everyone, and as a result, it should be possible for everyone to feel that they're reflected in the language that we use on a day-to-day basis. Then there's also the fact that language obviously has a large and diverse audience. And so if you're writing with one gender in mind, you're pretty much shutting out another gender, so around half the population. And I think finally, one interesting point is that the way we use language also helps to shape our perception of reality. So if I can just borrow an example from another language, in Spanish, I think it's quite interesting that, say, you have a group of 10 women who are friends, you would refer to them as amigas, which is the feminine form. But the minute that one man joins that group and you have 10 women but one man, suddenly it's changed to amigos, which perhaps suggests that there's more importance being lent to the one man who's present than the 10 women. So that's just one example. So how do we do gender inclusion in English? How do we ensure this is present in our writing? I think today I'm just going to run through a few tips and tricks with you, a few techniques. And starting off with the most obvious one, which is using the plural form. So we do this a lot in English when we're writing anyway, and I think it's usually the simplest way to achieve gender inclusion. And throughout this presentation, I'll give you an example of kind of the way you should do it if you're wanting to be gender neutral, and then the way that you should avoid writing. So in this case, you would try to say all lawyers face challenges in their career, and you would avoid saying something like each lawyer faces challenges in his career. So you're avoiding the male default. Then there's also the singular they. So even if you can't use the plural noun for some reason, you can still refer to a singular person by saying they. And this is known as singular they. This is relatively recent in English. So when I was growing up, I was always taught that if you don't know the gender, you should just say he or she. But it's quickly been accepted that you can also say they, and this is pretty standard now, not just in spoken English, but also in written English. So for example, here, if you don't know the gender of this law student, you would still say each law student manages their time effectively when studying for exams, and you would avoid saying something like each law student manages his time effectively when studying for exams. Then another option you have is to just address the reader very directly. And I think this is especially important if you're trying to make your writing kind of snappy and grab the reader's attention. And you can do this by either using you or using the imperative form. So I've given examples of both here. So for example, here you see in this role, you will work with different industry stakeholders. And this is really useful, especially if you're writing something like a job description or you're giving your reader some sort of instruction. So here you see here in the second example, a little plug for the LLI. Become a member to access the LLI's full range of benefits. That's using the imperative, obviously. And here we have another option for you if you're writing in English, which is the use of the passive voice. So this is one that you have to be a little bit careful with just because it can sound quite clunky when you're writing in English. We generally try to avoid using the passive voice because it just makes our sentences too long and complicated. But here I have an example for you. The barrister's skeleton arguments must be submitted to the judge, is how you would phrase it. And then you would avoid saying something like each barrister must submit his skeleton arguments to the judge. Then the he or she example, which we mentioned earlier. So this is possible for you to use if, for example, you can't use the plural form or the singular they would also be confusing for your reader, then you can use he or she. So I've got an example here. When the author submits a text, he or she will receive a confirmation email. But again, this is a technique that I'd say you should try to avoid overusing, just because just reading he or she, sentence after sentence, again, makes your writing kind of cumbersome and a bit clunky. So in this case, I would try to prefer the they where possible. Another technique you can use is to alternate between genders and pronouns throughout sentences. And this is kind of a nice way of making it clear to the reader that you're including all genders within your audience. So I have an example here. Each LLI member can collaborate via MS Teams. There he can find out about ongoing projects. Additionally, she can start a new project. So this is just kind of a nice signal to your reader that you're including everyone. But again, it can get a bit confusing, so be careful of the context in which you use this one. And this is an interesting one, titles. So Anna and I were discussing this earlier, and we think that German is a lot better when it comes to titles of women, because in English we have this really old-fashioned distinction between unmarried women and married women. So married women are referred to as Mrs., spelled M-R-S, and then unmarried women are referred to as Miss, spelled M-I-S-S. But we have introduced a newer version to deal with women who don't want other people to know their marital status, which I think is quite self-explanatory. So confusingly, we call it MS, which is also pronounced Miss. But if you write MS, this means that you're not telling the reader whether this woman is married or unmarried. So I would suggest using MS, unless you know that the woman in question prefers to be known as Mrs. or Miss. Now, job titles and functions tend to be fairly gender neutral in English. We usually just have one word for everybody, but we do have kind of a couple of odd examples floating around from the past where these sorts of jobs would have been done by men. And again, we've tried to come up with gender neutral alternatives. So one classic example is chairman. Would obviously refer to a man back in the day, and now we would prefer using chair or chairperson. Another example you see quite a lot is layman, where we have the gender neutral alternative of layperson. So you can see that throughout all of these techniques, one of the main objectives has been to basically avoiding always using man generically by default to refer to everybody. And yeah, that's present throughout these techniques, but I've just given another example to make it clear. So in this example, you would want to avoid saying something like each consultant is working closely with his assistant, and you would try instead to say each consultant is working closely with an assistant. And then this is also going to come out in Anna's segment of the presentation, but what we're also trying to achieve through gender neutral language is to avoid stereotyping roles. So I think one example, you know, when you conjure up a politician in your head, despite, for example, Angela Merkel obviously being in charge of Germany, in the UK we had Theresa May recently, you might still picture a man in your head who's married to a woman. So then a typical example you might get if you weren't being gender neutral is to say the heads of state and their wives are attending the dinner. So to avoid those kind of stereotypical roles of, you know, the heads of state being married to women and therefore probably being men, you could instead say the heads of state and their partners are attending the dinner. So I hope that's helped you when it comes to being gender inclusive, gender neutral in English.